The time that you're speaking of when Kennedy was trying to get ambassadors in a bunch of African nations, and I almost just fucked this up. I almost just said, is that when they appointed Kembe Mutombo to Congress as an ambassador of the Democratic Republic of Congo?
Yeah,
but it's not Kembe Mutombo.
You get the wag of the finger for that one. Man.
What is it? What was his name? What was his
You're
name?
You're talking about Patrice Lumumba?
Lumumba.
It's after Patrice Lumumba. Welcome back to the Trilateral Troika. This is Steve, along with the other Steve.
Barely.
And Ryan.
Freeze-dried Skittles are my new obsession. I'm going to be 300 pounds before the end of the year.
You're my obsession. You're my obsession.
Gonna wash himself with a rag on a stick.
Dude, so my brother got a bag of like the Skittles Sour, freeze-dried Skittles Pop, whatever the fuck. And he's like,
what the fuck are you saying? It's skin of it, a little, little pops a pop, won't stop till the sweet pea drops.
Yeah, it's Skittles Pop. I do approve when I take them. Freeze dried. And they're like crunchy. You just, I don't know. They're just crunchy.
Fucking goddamn face is crunchy, bro.
They're delicious. They're a problem. Long story short, they're a problem.
Oh, wow. And bam, do you say?
Steve just goes into,
get your jock jams, get some beauty on the court tonight, make my day.
some CNC Music Factory.
Dude, I told my wife I could make a car out of pasta. Sorry. God damn it, that's not how the joke goes.
I forget what the name of the woman was that was in CNC Music Factory, but she was like the NBP.
No, I think CNC Music Factory, it was either them or another one. It was the I Got the Power. That wasn't CNC Music Factory, was it? No, that was shit. Well, who sang that? I Got the Power. CC Peniston? No. Wasn't it like Snap?
Snap. Sang I Got the Power.
Snap. Yeah. The Power of Shangri-La. Some fucking goddamn Leroy. I'm the Shogun of Harlem shit. But, yeah. What the fuck was I talking about? Dude, you want to know what just happened to me? This is fucking crazy, bro. Crazy. My wife comes in here. I'm doing the nerdiest possible shit ever. I had a radio apart, and I was upgrading the firmware on the SDR chip. And, just because I felt like it. And she's like,
I want to give you a swirly just because of how nerdy that sounded.
She's like, does this look like the dog next door? I can't say its name yet. And I'm like, yeah. She's like, well, that's over at this place. And I'm like, oh, shit, it's right next to us on the other side of the holding pond. And I'm like, all right, let's go out. So we start looking at our security cameras because our neighbor's dog gets out every once in a while. They have a lot of animals over there. It's inevitable. But it's an intimidating looking little black pit bull, right? And it is it wouldn't even bite itself, like it's that nice.
Okay.
So
okay.
Anyway, long story short, it's out there because Cassie finds my neighbor and he says yeah. So we take a walk over there. It's probably like I don't know a quarter mile away where the dog is. I'm like fuck it.
Okay. Okay.
But we just took edibles, like 20 minutes before that because. I didn't know my fucking neighbor's dog was going to get out. So we're walking, and we're fine, right? It's not kicking in yet, okay? And the further we walk into the neighborhood, the faster it starts to kick in. But it was still good. We were still focused, right? Then my neighbor comes rolling around in his truck, and we tell him what's up. Then we get all the way around, and we found the dog. One of the people back there actually was about to report it and then just, let them know they'd hold it until the morning. And we just happened to drive by. So we got the dog back. Anyway, the reason why my neighbor is a black man, by the way. And the reason why we couldn't say the dog's name.
No, don't do this.
Is because the dog's name is Blackie. So he can't just run around a neighborhood in Florida just yelling Blackie.
Hey, have you seen Blackie?
And I'm like, you guys can go get it, but like, I'm really, we could whistle maybe, you know, like, come here, boy. Come here, boy is already bad enough, right? Now you want me to call him Blackie, too?
You're going to hear a lot of things out on that court, things you're not going to want to hear. People are going to say, why has Blackie got to be on the team? I don't want Blackie passing the ball to me.
When my neighbor first told me that they named that dog that, I was like, man, if that dog doesn't get out, goddamn. It could be worse, right? But it's just bad enough.
It could be worse.
It's just bad enough, right? Oh, my God. Anyway.
Well, speaking of being just bad enough.
What's the difference between a Vietnamese restaurant and an Indian restaurant?
Oh, God.
One is faux profit. The other is non-profit.
Stop it.
I'll be here all week.
And so the Trailer Troika will now have two hosts. It'll be the Steve and Ryan show.
Oh, man.
Steve is currently getting the help he needs, people.
What kind of trousers does a psychic wear? Just a pair of normal pants.
Stop it. Stop it right fucking now.
Just Steve getting beat up by the roadies for you two.
Hey, the Edge wants a word with you. Oh, man. What do you call children born to a... Oh, my God. What do you call children born in a whorehouse? Brothel sprouts. What? Oh, man. You don't hate me. You don't hate me. You fear me. My lack of boundaries.
Like jazz.
Like jazz.
I need to start the episode before Steve gets caught in like a Norm McDonald. Like
oh,
a
we're fucked McDonald already, bro. God.
Just saying.
Oh, God. I saw a great, speaking of norms, I saw a great clip from Cheers last night that I had never seen before, where like some guy walks in the bar and so much has changed. He used to be there 20 years ago. And then he's saying everything. And he's like, I love what you did with the paneling. And he's like, and Woody Harrelson turns around. He's like, oh yeah, where? Like, where at? And he's like, over there behind Norm. Because Norm's been at the same place in the bar for 20 years. What the fuck with that show, man? Like, nowadays, if you go to a pub every day, I mean, don't they just, like, pre-arrest you?
Like, yeah, I think so.
Don't you get pre-arrested for that? Pretty sure.
You're in the book of, like, malcontents that they keep.
Yeah. Sorry.
You're one of the usual suspects.
Hell yeah.
Like any it's like
anyone but yep, Kevin Spacey, up, all right?
Go round up the usual suspects.
Fuck. So what's this one going to be about?
Ah. Speaking of usual suspects, we're going to be talking about Franz Albert René.
No, we're not.
Oh, boy.
Because you never said a last name.
This guy has three last names.
Nobody has three last names. Fucking pretentious cunt. What's his name? Jean-Baptiste Emmanuel Zorg?
The same.
What was it? John French name?
Franz Albert René.
France. He's trying to church it up.
France. Nah, it's Franz. Like Franz, yeah.
Franz Albert René was born to Price René, a plantation manager administrator, and to Louisa Morgan René, a seamstress, on November 16th, 1935, in Victoria, on the island of Mahay, within the crown colony of the Seychelles, but spent most of his childhood on the island of Farquhar.
Where's the Seychelles located?
Ooh. The Seychelles are located to the north of Madagascar, so sort of between Madagascar
try again,
India.
Okay, there we go. You said Madagascar. I'm like, I do not get that reference.
He said to the north of Madagascar like I'm fucking Magellan. Listen, man, you tell me left or right, okay?
I thought, you know, it's funny. I would figure you would actually know that. I would be the only one, you know? I totally thought you'd know that. That's where I was going with that joke. I feel bad now. Because the only one who knows how to get around, apparently, is Steve.
With directions.
Oh, I'm terrible.
No, I'm terrible. People will tell me all the time, like, you know, go east on whatever the fuck, and I can usually get around okay. But, yeah, it just makes for good. It just makes for good comedy.
You got some shitty-ass
like,
friends.
Where the fuck is North on the map?
You got some shitty friends, man. Just go east on whatever the fuck. Oh, thanks for the directions.
No, when I'm at work. When I'm at work.
When I'm at work. Oh, do you have to drive that thing? I thought you were, like, the ambulance, like, manager.
I mean, I still drive every now and then.
I didn't know you guys did that.
Oh, yeah. We switch off. We drive every now and then.
Okay. Cool.
His family had a sort of modest background. They did not belong to the upper class, even though they were of European origins. The family would return to Victoria when Renee was 5 years old and was sent to St. Joseph's Convent and later to St. Louis College. With the help of scholarships, he was able to attend secondary education at St. Louis College of the Marist Brotherhood in Victoria, which is the capital city of the Seychelles.
Oh, nice.
Isn't the Seychelles like a really affluent area?
Yeah, I thought that was.
Kind of. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about it.
Everybody's like, what people are you talking about? The rich people. That's what I meant.
You know, those types. You know, well, let's just say, Steve, that there's a type you're familiar with that are there.
Now I'm interested.
In 1952, at the age of 17, he was granted a scholarship in Switzerland to study theology at the Capuchin Seminary of St. Maurice in the canton of Valais. After his first year, though, in 1954, he was transferred to study law at St. Mary's College in Southampton, England, and later complete his university education at King's College London. Allegedly, this is because he was, like, big into partying, so he essentially got dumped out of, like, the seminary.
Also, isn't King's College, like, really nice?
Yeah, it's good school.
It is.
Not the one in Pennsylvania. I know someone who went there.
In 1957, he qualified as a lawyer at King's College London, serving until 1961 and joined Middle Temple. While abroad, though, he became heavily involved in the politics of the Labour Party, at that time led by Clement Attlee and later Hugh Gaitskell. These experiences led him to adopt a moderate socialist ideology that favored some state intervention in the economy and strong ties with conservative forces such as the Roman Catholic Church. Later, though, René would be denounced by local church leaders who criticized his policies. From 1962 to 1964, he also studied economics at the London School of Economics. Around this time as well, when he's sort of going into this and he gets involved in banking, he's also involved in some of the banking that goes on in the Channel Islands during this period, which are some of the earliest tax havens in places like Guernsey.
He's a piece of shit, heard.
This will also become important to the story as well. Upon returning to his homeland in 1964, he would practice law in Victoria. However, he became disappointed with the social policies of British colonialism that created massive injustice among the population.
Is this the worst? They were the worst.
As a result, he decided to participate in the political development of his country, and he also launched a newspaper titled The People.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay, I already don't like this guy, but go ahead.
He's not until a banker,
a politician, a lawyer, and he's got his own newspaper. Come on, bro.
It was not until 1964 that any new political movements were created. In that year, the Seychelles People's United Party, the SPUP, later the Seychelles People's Progressive Front, the SPPF, the forerunner to what is today the United Seychelles Party, was formed. This party was led by René, who helped found it, and they campaigned for socialism and independence from Britain. The London-trained lawyer named James Manchamp, he founded the Seychelles Democratic Party, which was also created that year, which was sort of the opposite. It represented conservatives, businessmen, and planters, and wanted closer integration with Britain. After being elected to the Legislative Assembly of the colony in 1965, together with his party comrades, he actively fought for granting self-government and then independence for Seychelles. Hmm. Elections were held in 1966, and they were won by the Seychelles Democratic Party. In 1970...
Real quick, so Seychelles is an island, right?
Or it's a chain of islands? It's a chain of islands.
So what... And it originally it was Britain that held, like, dominion over them?
Yes, they were held by France until the War of 18... Like, until the Napoleonic Wars. And then France loses them, and they become a British possession, which is why... the French background of René is because he sort of descended from these original like French settlers on the colony. And the Seychelles is actually very diverse because you get like peoples from different sort of areas. You know, you get black Africans coming in. You get Indians through like labor transfers like an and things term? Like that. And same with Chinese people.
Why does that sound like an offensive term? Black Africans. Sounds like something like a shitty white African. Sounds like something like a shitty racist person would say when they were trying to mute themselves, you know? You know? I'm just tired of you black Africans.
These black Africans.
Right.
There's gonna be some white Africans who show up in this story as well, so
are they from down south somewhere? Yeah.
There's a white genocide.
The Blicks are ruining South Africa.
The Blicks are coming.
But in 1970, the Seychelles obtained a new constitution, universal adult suffrage, and a governing council with an elected majority.
Hey, you guys know how good Rhodesia's camouflage is? Can't even find it on a map.
I know. In March of 1970, colonial and political representatives of Seychelles met in London for a constitutional convention with the Seychelles Democratic Party of James Mansham advocating closer integration with the UK and the Seychelles People's United Party of René advocating independence. Further elections in November of 1970 brought a new constitution into effect with Mansham as chief minister. Further elections were held in April of 1974, in which both major political parties campaigned for independence. In 1975, in the colonial government, he became Minister of Public Works and Land Development of the coalition government, which also included representatives of the Democratic Party. Following the election, negotiations with the British resulted in an agreement under which the Seychelles became an independent republic within the Commonwealth on June 29, 1976.
So 1976, Seychelles is a free country.
Yeah, they become a free country. James Mansham, who's just been knighted, so he's Sir James Mansham.
Father he becomes of our Joe first Manchin. President. Shitty politician. Yeah. fake Democrat.
With René as prime minister, following assembly elections in which the Seychelles People's United Party came in second place.
Okay.
These negotiations also restored the islands of Aldebra, Farquhar, and Desroches, which had been transferred from Seychelles in November of 1965 to form part of the new British Indian Ocean Territory to Seychelles upon independence.
Okay.
While this is going on, rumors come out that René has been sort of practicing shooting on an isolated island with some other men. And when Mansham brought this up to René that, you know, that he had been seen practicing with rifles on an uninhabited island, René told him that he was just been shooting rabbits and had a brace delivered to Mansham.
But what's the problem if he's on an uninhabited island just shooting off guns?
Well, Mansham is away overseas to attend the Commonwealth Heads of Government Conference in London and to celebrate the Silver Jubilee of Queen Elizabeth on June 4th through 5th of 1977.
Steve. Why is it a problem if he was on a gun or if he was on an uninhabited island shooting a gun? What was the problem with that?
Well, what happens, Ryan, is that this is a precursor to about 60 and 200, somewhere between 60 and 200 partisans trained in Tanzania, orchestrating a coup d'etat against the government.
The government of...
The
government of where?
Tanzania is like directly across from the Seychelles, and it is a socialist government. Okay. So they're somewhat aligned with Rene and his ideology. So that's why they were sort of trained there. Rene would claim that he was not involved in the coup. But during the Truth and Reconciliation and National United Commission in 2019 and 2020, a participant in the coup said that Rene had been heavily involved in planning and executing the coup d'etat. He apparently planned most of it while he was in London visiting his first wife. Mm-hmm. And that he planned out a lot of this during like his visit there in her flat in London.
Gotcha.
The insurgents took control of strategic points on Mahay. The central police station was seized without anyone firing a shot. There was an exchange of fire at the Mount Flory police station where the arsenal was kept. Three men were killed and a policeman and one of the insurgents were killed in the fighting.
Jesus.
The plotters arrested six British Armed Forces officers who had been advising the Seychelles police force since 1976. The officers and their families, as well as the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, Aidan O'Brien Quinn, who was a judge from Ireland, who was on loan by his government, were flown to Europe and the island was put under curfew.
Aidan O'Brien Quinn, that is the most Irish name I've ever heard of in my life. Just throw Sullivan in there and that's it.
When approached by the insurgents, Rene was said to have accepted the presidency on three conditions: that the safety of political individuals be guaranteed, that international agreements remain in force, and that elections be planned for 1978, although they would eventually be held in 1979. Rene, who denied knowing of this plan, was then sworn in as president and formed a new government. After coming to power, Rene declared that he was not a Soviet-style communist, but rather an quote-unquote Indian Ocean socialist and quote-unquote socialist Pan-Africanist.
Bro, stop. Oh, fuck. He's just using words. At this point, he's just using words.
Early on, he opposed the Anglo-American military installation on the Indian Ocean atoll of Diego Garcia, because of the possible storage of nuclear weapons. Diego Garcia is like an archipelago in the Indian Ocean that's sort of like between the Seychelles and India, sort of in that middle area of the Indian Ocean, where the UK essentially evicted everybody who lived there to a nearby island and then just made like a permanent military base there.
Huh.
Because it was like the perfect location for a base, and they're not big islands, so they just kicked everybody off.
That's a shitty thing to do.
Look, sometimes you gotta do it, you know?
Rene's party, renamed the Seychelles People's Progressive Party in 1978, was the sole legal party from 1979 to 1991, and his political party was largely financed by Tanzania, Algeria, Libya, and East Germany. The newly reformed system of one-party socialism featured a directly elected president, as well as the original plurality system of legislative representation. All political activity took place under the rule of the Seychelles People's Progressive Front, and the president was voted for on a yes-no basis by any Seychelles citizen 17 or older. The president enjoyed almost unchecked executive power and appointed his cabinet as well as his chair of the National Assembly. The legislature itself was unable to rule independently and instead only enacted the bills proposed by the executive. Criticism of Rene or any aspect of his government was not tolerated. This allowed him to be the only presidential candidate for elections in 1979, 1984, and 1989, which he won with almost 90% of the vote.
That sounds suspicious.
Multi-party democracy commenced around 1994. But Rene continued to win in 1993 and in 1998 and 2001 when he defeated the opposition leader Ramkalawan, the candidate of the Seychelles National Party. In addition to the presidency, he held several cabinet posts simultaneously, including Minister of Foreign Affairs, Minister of Finance, Minister of Finance and Industry, Minister of Planning and External Relations, Minister of Interior and Defense, and Minister of Industry.
This sounds like some Kim Jong fucking Un shit. That he just holds all these titles. He's winning by 99.9%
Lord Queen Galactic
of the
King
vote.
of the volleyball court.
I mean, Ryan, there might be more of a connection
the
there.
18 holes of golf.
Premier shipman of the Swedish football fanatics.
Let's just say that there's a bit of a connection there.
God! All right.
In 1988, he added the role of Minister of Tourism. The last edition was ironic because in private he had sort of said that he hoped that no one would come visit the country and that he did not want tourism coming in.
That's fucking awesome.
From 1978 to 1984, he also served as chairman and then from June of 1984, secretary general of his political party. In 1979, there was a planned invasion of the Seychelles by supporters of Sir James Mancham with the assistance of American diplomatic staff in Kenya and the Seychelles. It was discovered before it could be carried out. An official investigation also implicated France with involvement in the coup.
No.
So everybody wants to get out of there.
The SPPF instituted several reforms, including universal access to education and healthcare, as well as environmental reforms. Compared to the rest of Africa, the Seychelles, though, scored well in terms of child mortality, literacy rate, median income, and standard of living. During this period, the Seychelles... No, they were like to the top. They still are to this day. Yeah. During this period, the Seychelles developed rapidly to the point that it became the most developed country in Africa on the Human Development Index.
Wow. Okay.
The situation for Seychelles Creole people, who constitute the majority of the nation's population, also improved significantly due to domestic policies implemented by René aimed at racial equality. However, the white minority, Franco Seychelles, still occupy the most important post, those of ministerial and parliamentary within the state administration, and dominate the ranks of the party leadership.
Not surprising. Just like any other country in Africa, the white residents are going to be the ones that lead everything.
But much like Mancham, this also came from him finding outside funding. Ostensibly, he would claim it was tourism, but in reality, he sort of promoted the settlement of international banks and established an offshore financial center.
Oh, fuck. Here we go.
So Victoria has a population of around 20,000 people during this time period. But the banks that were in there, the international banks that were in Victoria at that time, include Credit Suisse, Credit Lyonnais, Barclays Bank, and the Bank of Credit and Commerce International. Hmm. So if you know anything about banks, these are banks that people do money laundering.
Is it Barclays, like the one that's like popular with soccer?
Golf.
Yeah, Barclays. Yeah, Barclays does a lot of like advertising, but they're also like one of those banks that's known for like that gets slapped on the wrist every now and then for like laundering for like mafia groups and stuff like that.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
There was also a casino established in Victoria, ostensibly for the purposes of money laundering. There's an American ambassador who has like an oral history about being there in the early 80s. His name is David Fisher, and his like oral history of his time on the island is very amusing, where he just talks about landing there and then just suddenly finding out all the corrupt shit that's going on there. So he felt like he was in a spy novel.
That's fucking hilarious.
Like one of the things we'll talk about is that they have a U.S. like intelligence community satellite listening post on the island. And that when he first met with René told him that they would honor all of their agreements with the United States, even though they were closely allied with the Soviet Union. And then the ambassador's like, well, yes, that's good. Cause he says, well, even honor the secret one. And he's like, oh, yes, good to hear about that. Then he had to phone up Washington. He was like, what the fuck does he mean by secret agreement?
Oh, my God.
And the agreement was, which had been established before the ambassador arrived, was that after B-52s had bombed the Soviet Union in World War III, that they would essentially, like, make their way and probably glide to the Seychelles after bombing the Soviet Union.
Oh, my God. Okay. All right. Sure.
Because that's one of the reasons why during that period the Seychelles has an ambassador, because normally, like, small countries don't get ambassadors.
Right.
Usually, like, small countries just get an ambassador at a larger country who has, like, a jurisdiction over a bunch of smaller ones. During the Kennedy administration, they made, like, a big effort that they were going to put ambassadors in all these new African countries. But the main reason why Seychelles had an ambassador until the 90s was because of the CIA listening posts there.
Oh, okay. That makes sense then. Yeah, listen, we're going to have an ambassador if we have the CIA as a base there. Sorry.
Because only like five nations had ambassadors there. It was like the Soviet Union, India, Soviet Union, the United States, I think East Germany, and Cuba.
The time that you're speaking of when Kennedy was trying to get ambassadors in a bunch of African nations, and I almost just fucked this up. I almost just said, is that when they appointed Dikembe Mutombo to Congress as an ambassador of the Democratic Republic of Congo?
Yeah.
But it's not Dikembe Mutombo.
You get the wag of the finger for that one.
Mutombo.
What is it? What was his name? What was his name?
You're talking about Patrice Lumumba?
Lumumba.
It's after Patrice Lumumba.
Okay.
It's also been
Mutombo, bro. I was like, I know that's not his name.
You know that revolutionary guy, Dikembe Mutombo?
Sick guard. He threw a strong elbow.
He did reinvent the center position. I think he was a center, dude.
He's center?
Yeah.
No way he was a guard.
He was like 7'13". He was huge.
Well, yeah, I was rethinking about it. Yeah, that doesn't make any sense because he'd probably break like a twig.
Yeah, maybe.
Rene, though, was also associated with the Gambino crime family and was facilitating gun running for Libya.
There we go.
One of Rene's main facilitators was a G. Mario Ricci, who was his facilitator for the mafia and had allies within the Italian embassy. Ricci, who was originally associated with mafia groups in New York, claimed to be an honorary ambassador of the Knights of Malta in order to use diplomatic papers to get around customs, but was in fact a representative of the Coptic Knights of Malta, a New York-based corporation.
Ah. Fucking weird.
Other mafiosos who hid on the Seychelles as well included Michael Pacienza, who had been hiding out in the country and was affiliated with the Gambino crime family, and Michael Papa, who was hiding out in the country. He was an armed smuggler who connected Billy Carter to the Libyans and was also deeply connected to the P2 Lodge.
Billy Carter, Jimmy Carter's younger brother?
Yes, of Billy Beer fame. essentially what would happen is that any time these, like, Interpol would get warned about, like, these guys being in the Seychelles, they would try to arrest them, and either the Italian ambassador would fly in from Kenya and do something to, like, mess it up, or that the Italian ambassador was also leaking files to them. Because at one point it's found out by the CIA contact in during, like, the early 80s, it's found out that Ricci has, like, most of his, like, diplomatic or most of his cables he had been sending about things. And so he was definitely pretty well connected and, you know, was very, very established.
Right.
I see.
Rene's phone number was also found on the body. Like, his direct phone number was found on the body of a dead mafioso from what were called the pizza murders, which occurred in the 1980s. It was found on the body of a dead mafioso whose body was dumped in Secaucus, New Jersey.
Secaucus. Not the pizza murders.
Secaucus. So it sounds to stop on the sub on the train.
But for the way it's described, essentially, because during like the '80s, it was just like a swamp, and so they would just like dump dead bodies there.
That sounds about right.
Let me tell you, babe, I've been to Sequoia because it's still a swamp.
Though, despite the occasional coup attempts, his regime was considered stable due to the balancing interests.
Oh my god!
During the balancing the interests between capitalism and communism, one example of this is that he established diplomatic relations with the People's Republic of China on June 30th, 1976.
China, Korea. My bad.
PRC. China began providing Seychelles with diplomatic aid in 1977, including constructing a polytechnical school and developing a housing project in the community of Le Marmalade. In 2002, China exported $1.48 million worth of goods while importing only $100,000 from Seychelles.
God damn.
Wow, that's a hell of a ratio.
China's really trying to beef them up, huh?
Diplomatic ties with India also existed since the Seychelles gained independence in 1976. A resident High Commissioner of India had been in Victoria since 1987, while Seychelles opened its resident mission in New Delhi in 2008. Relations between the two countries have been warm and cordial, with regular high-level exchange visits between them. From India, Prime Minister Indira Gandhi and Presidents R. Venkataraman and Pradeepa Patel have visited the Seychelles, while Rene, Michel, and Fuar of Seychelles have paid state visits to India. In 1986, Seychelles brought around $600,000 in Malaysian products directly, but purchased around $7 million U.S. dollars through indirect trade with Singapore, looking for direct trade with Malaysia to get Malaysian products without using Singapore ports.
Huh.
In 1988, an agreement to promote cooperation in the fields of culture, education, sports, and information was signed. So even though he's ostensibly the socialist leader, he's also making inroads into just about any government he can in order to get money into the country.
Okay.
But during his rule, the ostensibly socialist and non-aligned government of the Seychelles maintained close relations with the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, also known as North Korea. The country received aid from them, and much of this cooperation was military in nature. Uniformed North Korean soldiers were present in the country in 1980, around 120 of them. Another example of this cooperation was in 1983. There was deployment of 55 North Korean instructors and interpreters to aid the military of Seychelles. During his time in power, Rene visited Pyongyang several times, meeting with Kim Il-sung. And during one meeting in 1988, he expressed support for Korean reunification and applauded the idea of a democratic confederal republic of Koryo.
So he wants a unified Korea, huh?
Well, he wants what North Korea wants.
Like, he wants unified Korea ruled by North Korea. Or North Korea-type government.
I guess North Korea benefiting a lot from it. I think the Confederation is sort of like, they wouldn't be able to dominate it, but they would still be getting, you know, a sweet deal.
Yeah.
Relations between the Seychelles and the Soviet Union were established a day after the island nation gained its independence from the UK.
As soon as they gain independence, the Soviet Union is like, oh, yes, da, yes, we'd love to be friends, yes.
You want us, you want us to be doing the business?
You stop talking to that bitch, UK, yes, okay, well, then talk to me there,
no
baby
problem.
Girl.
No problem.
On February 15th, 1980, the Soviet Union and Seychelles signed the agreement on merchant navigation in Victoria.
Yeah.
So as early as 1980, Soviet ships are regularly like taking port in Seychelles, where there's a U.S. Satellite listening post. Rene's government supported the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan. And in 1987, the Sunday Times, quoting an unnamed U.S. intelligence officer, reported that the Soviet Union had landed 50 naval infantry troops in the Seychelles after making landfall on the Ivan Rogov on October of 1986, a month after a foiled assassination attempt on Rene.
Also, they tried to kill Rene. Who tried to kill him?
Well, no, they tried to, they like somebody tried to kill him, and then it's saying like, no, we got you. They send 50 troops to like protect him.
Oh, 50, 5-0, big number. Okay.
In 1999, an agreement of cooperation in the field of tourism was concluded between the Seychelles and Russia. As noted earlier, in the year 1963 marked the beginning of an official U.S. presence in the Seychelles when the U.S. Air Force tracking station was built and put into operation on Mahé. The tracking station facilities were situated on land that was leased from the Seychelles government for $4.5 million annually, which is another reason why it doesn't want it.
You said U.S. Air Force tracking station. Is this the CIA thing we're talking about now?
Yeah, it's the satellite listening post. Like it's a bunch of things, but it's ostensibly a U.S. Air Force facility.
Okay.
The station's complement consisted of 5 uniformed Air Force personnel, 2 officers and 3 sergeants, 65 employees of World Corporation and Johnson Instruments, and 150 Seychelles employees.
You say 65 employees of L'Oreal? Like skincare?
Seychelles. No, Seychelles.
Oh, I thought you said that's L'Oreal. The people Corporation.
No, the Laurel Corporation, or L'Oreal.
Seychelles. Okay. Sounds like something out of fucking Gundam.
The Seychelles is the proper term for the people from the Seychelles.
Seychelles, okay.
The U.S. Air Force tracking station officially closed on September 30th, 1996. The Peace Corps also had volunteers of the Seychelles between 1974 and 1995. A U.S. consulate was opened in May of 1976 and became an embassy after the Seychelles' independence in June of 1976. The embassy was subsequently closed on August of 1996, and the United States opened a consular agency on September 2nd, 1996, to provide services to residents of Seychelles. The agency is under the supervision of the American Embassy in Port Louis, Mauritius. The U.S. Ambassador of Mauritius is also accredited to Seychelles.
Port Louis, beautiful town. Beautiful port. Never been there. Seen pictures.
Oh, man.
Numerous coup attempts were thwarted during the 1980s. There were 3 of them in around 2.5 years of government, and some more attempts were also made in 1981, 1982, 86, and 87.
Listen, if at first you don't succeed, try again, I guess.
On November 25th, 1981, Seychelles security forces put down a coup attempt sponsored by South Africa. British colonel and noted mercenary Mad Mike Hore and a team of 43 mercenaries posed as members of the quote-unquote Ancient Order of Froth Blowers, a defunct charitable beer-drinking fraternity visiting the island as tourists.
Yeah, we're going to fuck up some froth tonight.
We're going to blow some froth if you know what we're talking about.
Blowing froth, they pretended though, is one of those things that, in an old cartoon, looks just so... like enjoyable, like a fun activity. Then you do it in real life, and it's like spilling salt everywhere. Like it's a fucking mess.
You're just like fuck.
Yeah, fucking the foam just goes away. It's not foamy enough.
It's not fun anymore.
Nah, it's gotta be foamy, homie. You know. Yeah, foam up.
They had pretended to be a rugby association as well, and that they in their baggage they had packed toys for poor children. So essentially what happens is they land and they're a South African plane at the airport. Airport security goes through their bags, and in one of the bags, they find one of the AK-47s, which causes one of the guys to pull out and assemble his AK-47 loaded and then shoot one of the customs officers before he can escape the building.
What the fuck is this? No Russian in real life?
This launches a gun battle And essentially what happens is during this firefight, they're attempting to go off with the coup. During this time, an Air India plane lands in the airport. It damages a truck in the process of landing, and they get in this firefight with the authorities, and they essentially decide like they can't do this. So they arrange for them to get on the Air India plane and like leave the country, and they leave a couple guys behind. But essentially, they get in a firefight and then hijack a plane and leave.
That's fucking awesome.
The author John Perkins alleges that this was part of a covert action to reinstall the pro-American former president in the face of concerns about the United States' access to its military bases in Diego Garcia. An independent inquiry by the United Nations found that South African intelligence was indeed behind the coup. Jorge described the reaction he received from a Central Intelligence Agency agent in Pretoria as extremely timid. It's expected by Perkins that the United States played a significant direct role in the incident, given that there was cooperation at the time between the CIA and the South African government. $3 million were paid to President René and his government by South Africa for the return of the remaining mercenaries detained in the Seychelles.
You'll give them back.
The 1981 attempt was the second major threat to his government at the time. The government was threatened again by an army mutiny in August 1982, but it was quelled after 2 days when loyal troops, reinforced by Tanzanian forces, and several of the mercenaries that had escaped from the prison, recaptured the rebel-held installations. And the attempts to overthrow him at the times resembled sort of like a comical farce. He kept an iron grip on the islands and would-be counter-revolutionaries went in fear of their lives.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Tough guy. Dude, if you're – I'm not saying that I agree with it, but if you're a dictator and they're trying to throw a coup, you're not going to be nicer once you put that coup down. You're going to put your foot right on their necks.
Yep.
Gerard Horau. Please, Steve, show some respect. was a leader of the opposition, and he was the head of the group called the Mouvement pour la Résistance. His opposition to the dictatorship of René was based in London, and he was assassinated on November 29th, 1985, by an unidentified gunman on his doorstep in London.
Wow.
Oh, damn, it's unfortunate.
He was buried in London, and in 1985, after his assassination, the Seychelles community in exile put together a program called the Seychelles International Repatriation and Onward Program. In 1986, an attempted coup led by the Seychelles Minister of Defense, Ogilvie Berlouise, caused President René to request assistance from India. In Operation Flowers Are Blooming, the Indian naval vessel Vindhyagiri arrived in Port Victoria to help avert the coup. Despite this, for the most part, René ruled throughout this period with underground opposition at home. He used the Seychelles' strategic importance to obtain significant help from both superpowers of the period without having to commit himself to either. Wow. With a suppressed opposition, he was able to power through much-needed social reforms.
He had, like, high charisma points.
He had a lot of riz.
Yeah.
Rolling a net.
Rizzing up. Risen in politics.
In June of 1986, the Indian Navy deployed the Vindhyagiri at the Seychelles Port of Victoria to abort that coup.
This is a report that the Mets were on a tear at the time.
They might be related.
Really? Okay.
In September of 1986, when Indian Prime Minister Rajiv Gandhi lent President René his plane so that he could fly back from an international meeting in Harare to the Seychelles. Gandhi? Yeah.
Okay. No, seriously, like, is that a Gandhi relative?
I believe Rajiv Gandhi was Indira Gandhi's husband.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
That's not like asking if like all the Patels are related, is it? Like, is no, Gandhi a popular last name?
Fairly. Yeah, Patel is Patel.
He's the son of Indira Gandhi.
Oh, geez.
Hmm.
And during the coup as well, President Rene reportedly took shelter in the residence of the Indian High Commissioner in Malay. In February of 1992, Conrad Gressle, a local accountant, landowner, and advocate of multi-party democracy in Seychelles, was arrested and charged with treason for allegedly planning to overthrow the Rene regime with the apparent aid of foreign mercenaries and supposed CIA involvement. Gressle would die in July of 1992, and he would be considered one of the notable public victims of the campaign of terror. A number of Seychellois were also displaced in exile by the dictatorship. The Gressle family, though, they had been one of the one of the few landowners of French descent to remain after the 1977 coup. And most of their land was confiscated, and many members of the family were exiled. Any individual who publicly resisted the Rene regime was vulnerable to threats, intimidation, or exile throughout the 1980s. Disappearances and what appear to be politically motivated killing did take place, but these are not officially documented or acknowledged.
Yeah, you're right. A lot like North Korea, just more death instead of exiles.
A number of Seychellois families are now calling for official acknowledgement of politically motivated violence subsequent to the coup. Although he was white, he found greatest support among islanders with a queer African ancestry.
That's interesting.
An example given as well is that the American ambassador has a story where his son was visiting one summer from college, and some local like youths told him that they were going to assassinate Rene during a church service that Sunday, and that they needed the United States to like liberate the Seychelles. And what happened next was, I believe it was like the following day or a couple of days after, the public security forces had beaten those two kids to death with tire irons and thrown them over the fence into the ambassador's yard, covered in gasoline, and lit them on fire.
Jesus fucking Christ, dude.
One of the three kids who wasn't even involved with them, he was actually able to survive, and the United States smuggled him out of the country. And when the ambassador called up the president, he's like, "What the fuck are you doing? Like this is insane." The president told him that if he doesn't watch it, his son will be next. And then when he told Washington, Washington told him, like, "Yeah, you need to get your son out of the country as soon as possible."
Fuck.
But faced with mounting pressure, during this time period, like all of his like bodyguards are Cubans, and all of his like military advisors are like East Germans. So he's just surrounded by like Cubans and East Germans all the time.
Oh my God.
And the ambassador talked about like, yeah, you go meet him. And then in his office, he had this curtain, and behind the curtain was apparently this like big burly, like Cuban dude. And that, like, if they thought something was up or he ordered it, the guy would just, like, come out and, like, kill whoever.
Jesus fucking Christ, dude. This guy is out of pocket.
Faced with mounting pressure from the country's primary sources of foreign aid, Rene's administration began moving toward more democratic rule in the early 1990s. Following the collapse of the Berlin Wall and dissolution of the Soviet Union, at an extraordinary Congress of the Seychelles People's Progressive Front, on December 4th, 1991, under pressure of the opposition in France and Great Britain, President Rene announced a return to the multi-party system of government after almost 16 years of one-party rule. On December 27th, 1991, the Constitution of Seychelles was amended to allow for the registration of political parties. Among the exiles returning to Seychelles was James Mancham, who returned in April of 1992 to revive the Democratic Party.
Joe Manchin.
At the end of that month, eight political parties had registered to contest the first stage of the transition process, election to the Constitutional Commission, which took place on July 23rd through 26th of 1992.
That's got to be a scary thing to register a new political party in, like, a fucking
in the Seychelles?
Very clearly, like, hostile state to having democracy in open elections.
I mean, I was like, cute. Well, I guess it's cute.
You just put a huge target on your back, basically.
Yeah. Well, I guess his Cuban bodyguards were still there, but... But yeah, it's not like he had his East German and Soviet help.
Jesus Christ.
The Constitutional Commission was made up of 22 elected members, 14 from the SPPF and 8 from the Democratic Party. It commenced work on August 27th, 1992, with both René and Manchem calling for national reconciliation and consensus on a new democratic constitution. The first draft of the new constitution failed to receive a requisite 60% of voters in 1992, and an amended version was approved in 1993. A consensus text was agreed upon on May 7th, 1993, and a referendum to approve it was called for from the 15th to 18th of June. The draft was approved with 73.9% of the electorate in favor of it and 24.1% against. The multi-party presidential and legislative elections since the first multi-party presidential and legislative elections since 1974 were held under the new constitution between July 23rd and 26th of 1983 and were a resounding victory for René.
You say 83 or 93?
93.
So 20 years they hadn't done elections like that. That's crazy.
Three political groups contested the elections. The SPPF, the Democratic Party, and the United Opposition, a coalition of three smaller political parties, including Parti Sasewa. Two other smaller opposition parties threw in their lot with the Democratic Party. All participating parties and international observer groups accepted the results as free and fair.
I think it's kind of sus, but we'll go with it.
It's always sus.
Three candidates contested the March 20th to 22nd of 1998 presidential election, France, René, James Manchem, and Wavell Roncarnovan of the Democratic Party.
Wavell Roncarnovan.
Wavell Redenbacher.
Okay,
René and his party.
You don't
René and the S. René of the SPPF won in a landslide. His popularity at elections jumped to 66.6% in 1998,
so high
from 59.5% in 1993, while the SPPF garnered 61.7% of the total votes cast in the 1998 National Assembly election, compared to 56.5% in 1993.
They're getting better. They're getting more votes.
In 1999, Manchem switched to the centrist Liberal Seychelles National Party, which emerged as the major opposition party, losing to the SPPF in 2002 parliamentary elections with 42% of the vote.
Womp womp.
In a State of the Nation address,
you're the wrong fucking team, brother.
In a State of the Nation address in 2004, René said, "I trust that when you walk across our islands, you'll conclude that I have done my duty as a Seychellese worker." On February 24th of 2004, René announced that he would be stepping down in favor of his longtime lieutenant, comrade and vice president James Alex Michel, who served until 2016, who had been in office since 1996. He did comrade. So on July 14th.
Sounds kind of socialist and communist.
And remained the leader of the People's Progressive Front, which honored him as its patron and founder. Michel would go on to win the 2006 election, presidential election, against SNP leader Roncarnovan with 53.5% of the vote. René's political power, however, weakened with time, resulting in his party losing the 2016 parliamentary elections to the opposition.
Aw, you losing power?
While it was believed after stepping down in 2004 that Renee remained a powerful political influence, it's been said by family members that that Michel, upon securing his position, abandoned Renee, rarely conversing or seeking advice from him, except just before elections in a bid to get him to vocalize support. Renee died on February 27th, 2019, in Mahé, Seychelles, in a hospital from respiratory failure at the age of 84. The former president had been admitted to the hospital with an undisclosed illness for respiratory problems on February 12th. Delor Ernesta, who served as a minister in his government, said, "The president will be remembered as a true leader who led the fight for independence. I will also remember him as having a great vision for the development of the new Seychelles as we know it today, for he truly loved his country." Chinese President Xi Jinping expressed condolences over the passing of Renee, saying that he had made important contributions to advancing the cause of China-Seychelles friendship.
Boy, if Xi Jinping likes him, the United States must have hated this guy.
Until 2018, Renee was characterized as a prime example of a benevolent dictator as well as a well-loved and respected national figure, leading his country to the point of being the most developed country in Africa, as measured by the Human Development Index, and helping build one of the continent's highest gross domestic products per capita. However, the setting up of the Truth and Reconciliation and National Unity Commission in 2018 and
their hearings,
which were televised day after day in real time and recorded on YouTube, revealed the testimonies of people who had been tortured and from relatives of people who had been murdered, tortured, disappeared, assassinated, detained without trial, as well as evidence of financial crimes and looting of the state and private individuals, led to a reassessment of his record. Critics of René believe that he and his party are responsible for torture and other human rights abuses involving opponents of the government, allegedly including the death of a prominent dissident in London, Gerard Horau. After the 1977 coup, a significant portion of the population, including the deposed president, Sir James Manchamp, fled to the UK and South Africa due to political persecution in fear of the new government's expropriation and reprisals, and alignment with the Soviet Union, Tanzania, and North Korea. Between 1977 and 1984, 4,000 Seychellois left the country, mainly to Britain and South Africa. In the period from 1979 to 1989, according to official statistics, about 1,000 people a year left the country, which is more than 1% of the country's population. Renee also faced international pressure regarding his government's formal requirement that all applicants to the country's secondary education system graduate a compulsory national youth service, which included traditional curriculum, political education, and, according to some critics, ideological indoctrination and paramilitary training.
Sounds awful.
This was
another youth set up by a world leader. I wish I could remember the name of it. I think his name began with an H or something. I'm sure it'll come to me.
This requirement was abandoned after the transition to multi-party rule, and the organization was eventually abolished. Also, some critics of the regime point to the corruption and cronyism that occurred during his tenure. But they have a casino now, so that's nice. They actually have two casinos.
As you do, what do the Seminole Indians have a casino out there too? Did they?
The Hard Rock Victoria. Chief James Billy's daughter has a residency there. She's just going to be performing Miss Saigon.
Oh my god, that'd be fucking hilarious. You just land on a plane and get off the plane in Seychelles, you just see a big ass fucking Seminole Hard Rock casino.
Welcome to Seminole.
You see a billboard with a Native American girl dressed like a Vietnamese woman. Which is a real thing.
Oh God, Florida's gonna export everything. You're gonna be like in a car on the way to like the Seminole Hard Rock Casino in Seychelles, and you're gonna see like billboards on like the one main highway that's like at 8 weeks, I have a heartbeat. Yeah. Anti-abortion billboards.
Oh God, that those fucking billboards are the worst. Just the most pretentious bullshit.
Ron and Casey are going to be hiding out there after you know the when Black Edward 2.0 becomes governor. They're going to be hiding out there. It's like, well, me and Casey, we feel that there's a lot of good family values here in Seychelles.
Oh my God.
You're going to see just the fucking vasectomy billboard followed by anti-abortion billboard.
Followed by south of the border billboard.
I always like driving from Daytona because all the billboards are about like legal help, like arrested, call Daytona law or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like they know they're all like crime related area.
Mm-hmm.
They know what time it is in that area.
On that note, boys, that is the story of Franz Albert René. Second president of the Seychelles.
Second president of Seychelles. French August René Zellweger. Love it.
Got it. All right. Goodbye.
Night. Good luck.
Bye.